Did you know that crowns and repeated invasive procedures on your teeth are usually not needed? That's why you need to visit Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, located right here in Indianapolis. Sit down with Dr. Shoup for a one-on-one talk. The days of needing crowns or having repeated cavities are over. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show, online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, everybody, if you have watched this show or listened to it at all, you know this is my favorite part because I get to bring to you friends of mine from up at the office, and today is really, really cool because you get to meet Cheryl. Cheryl, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. And of all the people that I could think of to bring on and have a conversation with, you have one of the most colorful dental histories of anybody I know. I mean, you've gone from having a dentist dislocate your jaw to missing root canals. Those two topics right there by itself, you just got to hear more. Tell me how your dental journey began and where it kind of went off the rails.
Well, I think that it began in growing up just outside of New York City. I went to what I refer to as the mafia dentist, who did not believe in numbing medication and would say, that just hurts just as much, just hold on. So as a kid, I learned to hold on to the handles and just tolerate the drilling. And so it gave me probably a warped perspective of what appropriate dental care was.
Do you have any idea how many people right now just have this cold chill running up their spine? I want you to understand that.
Yeah, I'm sure, because a lot of times people don't believe it, but I've talked to some other people that had similar dentists, and they're like, yes, me too. And you just learn to deal with it. It was extremely painful, but I didn't know any different. And so then fast forward to having my wisdom teeth out when I was, I think, 19. And in that day, they kept people in the hospital. They put me in the hospital for 3 days to have my wisdom teeth out.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I started having pain after that, but I'd never had pain before. It was just that on the x-ray, they were impacted. So I had pain, and I wound up going back and back to the dentist saying, I don't know what's wrong, but my jaws are just so painful. So I wound up in New York City in Columbia Presbyterian being evaluated for TMJ, also for being crazy, because, you know, only crazy people have pain in their jaw, I guess.
Well, of course.
And so I wound up having steroid injections into my joints of my face, and then they decided to wire my jaw shut to see if that would help. Well, the pain disappeared when my jaws were wired shut. I had that done twice, and that was done with no anesthesia, and It was awful. And then when I moved to Indiana, I met a dentist who said, well, I think your jaws are out of line, or your teeth are out of alignment. So I had braces put on, and then the pain went away. But over the years, I never had any relief from all the jaw popping and grinding, and I just kind of got used to that. In addition, I had a front tooth that I had injured when I was 7, and when I was 17, that mafia dentist said, well, we'll just keep an eye on it, but it was turning gray. And so I wound up going babysitting for a friend whose son-in-law was a periodontist, and he was horrified, just horrified by the fact that I was letting a tooth that was gray just go and watch it. I said, well, that's what the dentist told me. So I wound up in his office, and he said, you have actually fractured the root, I think.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yep.
And infection had been brewing in there for years. So I had to have a hole drilled in the back of it, and for 3 weeks I had to let all that drain out. It was disgusting. Now, I was in New Jersey then, so I would have to say it was horrible. Horrible, I tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
So
what? How on earth do you muster the courage to walk into another weird guy's office that has the weird guy that is on the radio? How do you muster the courage to walk into my office and yes. listen to anything I have to say? What is wrong with you?
Well, it was getting where I had pain enough, often enough in my front tooth. And I said, I was talking to my friends, and I said, I don't know what else to do, because the last one told me, you know, well, we can pull it out, otherwise live with it. And my one friend, Jean, said, oh, you got to go see Dr. Randy. She goes, you'll love him. I said, why? She goes, well, he's different. Well, and you are different, aren't you?
Well, yeah, to say the least.
So she said, no. She said, I've had so much work, and he's so patient, and I never feel pain. It's wonderful. He listens and he pays attention to the whole picture, and he's trying to preserve people's teeth, which a lot of times apparently is not the plan. So I got up my courage and came to visit you, and your office, Angela, talked to me on the phone beforehand, and she was so nice that I felt like I was like almost talking to a counselor. She's like, oh my dear, tell me about your experience.
Well, she's kind of got some training in that, so that yeah. makes sense.
Yeah, so she did a very good job of making me feel safe. And then everyone I met at your office was just wonderful and very kind and patient, and I didn't have pain just having an exam done. And, you know, you made me laugh, and so that helped. And I felt like I had some hope that I could get some things fixed, because that tooth was just really bothering me. But when you grow up learning to live with pain, your perspective is different. And so
Sure.
It was a big relief to find out, you know, there really is something wrong in there and we can fix it. And there's actually quite a few things. You very gently explained that I had quite a few things wrong with me.
Well, let's just focus on dental. Let's just stay, yes. just stay with the dental right now for that's okay. It.
You didn't go through the whole Camilla, but it made me laugh when you looked in my mouth and said, well, you come close to winning the prize for the most caps or the most crowns.
You and the Queen of England, she's got like three more than you do, but that's it.
Yeah. So I just was so relieved to find someone that would treat me well, figure out what the real problem was, and, you know, direct me. Like for my tooth removal, I went to the person that you recommended, and she was wonderful. So I just have hope that I can get some good dental health and enjoy going instead of being terrified to go.
Well, I thank you for that very, very much. Yes, it is. I think it's a real obligation on any healthcare provider's part to create an environment that you, the patient, get to enjoy the encounter. It's not mechanical. It's not. It's a relationship.
Right.
And
correct.
If you don't create that venue that lets you come into this space and feel safe and feel comfortable and confident and cared
right.
for, you're not going to want to go there. So, and if you don't go there, I can't help you. So it's self-serving.
Well, and you know, I'm a nurse myself. And so I did labor and delivery for over 20 years. And I always felt like whenever I went into a patient, I always reminded myself, you do this every day, but this they're going to remember the rest of their life. So make it a positive experience for them if it's within your control, and connect with them and make them feel safe, which, of course, requires that you really know what you're doing. You can't just be a nice guy or a nice gal with a smile, but you're, you know, messing everything up.
You've struck a chord, because I get it so many times that, you know, I'll look at somebody and do their comprehensive exam and I'll point out all these things, and they said, well, I've been going to the same dentist for a long time. And I said, well, I'm really sorry, but some of this work is just really not good. They said, but he was so nice. I said, did you go there for the nice or did you go there for the dentistry? Which were you after? You got to figure that out. So yeah, you always have to bring your A game. That's just all there is to it.
Yes, but you can't remove the compassion piece.
No.
Because otherwise you really have a detrimental effect, because then if people are afraid or just, you know, you find you to be not personable, then they, I don't know, it's just a definite connection is an important piece of it. If people feel welcome and listened to.
Well, anybody listening to you can easily hear that you truly exhibit that compassion for people, and you would be, if I ever have a baby, I want you to take care of me. I'm just telling you that right now, because I think I would be in good care.
Yes, my daughter has taken up that torch now, and you know, she said she thinks often of, you know, how I try to present it and makes good connections with patients, but she's also good at what she does, so she makes sure she's learning well. And
perfect.
So I appreciate that from you so much. You know, I could walk in and give you a hug and a candy bar, but you know, I just want to come and get good care and let you know that I appreciate it and I feel safe and look forward to having teeth and my jaw fixed and my tongue and anything else that you identify.
We've got a little bit of a shopping list, but it will get through it. It'll be okay. Cheryl, you have carved out a whole bunch of time to talk to my friends here on the radio show. I really appreciate it, and I'm confident somebody is listening to this goes, this is like me. This is exactly my life. And so you've helped people, I'm sure, that you don't even know. So thank you very much.
My pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, kiddo, thank you. I will see you at the office next time, and keep catching babies.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.